Hello, hello, lovely people of On The Edge with Andrew Gold podcast. So this episode came along because I got I got an email from an anonymous source who informed me that the director who works with Tom Cruise on pretty much all of his films these days, he's the guy who wrote The Usual Suspects, I should say his name actually, it's Chris McQuarrie, it turns out is registered as sharing the exact same apartment or flat as Tom Cruise's daughter in Clearwater, Florida, the head of Scientology. And you start looking at some of this stuff and it starts to get a little bit weird. So I got Aaron Smith Levin, my go-to guy from Scientology, to have a look into this. And we are speculating to an extent, but it does all look a bit weird. We do get a couple of things wrong. We did this initially as a live stream, so that's always bound to happen. I think I referred to Christopher McQuarrie as the director of The Usual Suspects, where he was actually only the writer, which is no mean feat. It's a fantastic film, and he obviously is a very talented person. But things get in really deep and surprising and strange, and something's getting a bit off. Look, I'm always sensitive to this idea of like this minority and this group of people run Hollywood and are, you know, taking all the money and doing all these kinds of things. Obviously, coming from a Jewish background, that's the thing that's labeled at Jewish people. And I don't like it when that's done. I think the difference is Scientology is very clearly a destructive cult, not a religion or an ethnicity or a lineage or anything like that. And I think that makes it very different to speak about. And also, I mean, the evidence appears to be piling up. Be interested to get your opinions and see what you guys think. Do get in touch in the usual ways, I suppose, Twitter and Instagram. Come follow, come say hi. If you want to support the podcast, patreon.com/AndrewGold. You'll get these episodes then in your like Apple Podcast feed or whatever it might be, just without adverts from then on. And on, you'd get the Saturday episodes as well. So, for example, last Saturday was James SS, who is somebody who was fired from their university for gender critical views. And next Saturday is Sean Atwood defending Russell Brand, because I did an episode with Helen Lewis where we attacked and criticized Russell Brand. And I think all good journalism needs to consider at least both sides. We need to be informed of both sides of the cultural zeitgeist. Coming up, big episode apart from that Saturday one I'm talking about, we've got Julia Hart, the famous Hasidic Jewish woman who took over Netflix with her My Unorthodox Life, which is basically like Kardashians for somebody defecting from I'm scared of saying a cult, but an extreme sect, an extreme authoritarian sect, I think that's what it is. And lots of big episodes, really, but it's just knowing what order they're going to come out in. But lots of cult defectors, because they're doing really well with people. By the way, I've gone past on YouTube. I know a lot of you audio podcast people are going, I don't care about YouTube, I'm tired of that. I'm going on a run or driving in my car listening to this audio podcast in a very intellectual way, and I don't care about you and your YouTubers and all these things. But it's just the video versions of this, and we do them in person sometimes as well, so you can see us in the studio together. But we've passed 100,000 subscribers, which is pretty shocking, really, because this time last year it was just 3,000, and it's only in the last 4 or 5 months that it started to grow, and it's going up at this moment at about 15 to 20,000 subscribers a month. So really, things are moving on up over there. Come subscribe if you want. Catch us in live premieres. There's loads of people. It's lots of fun. But now you're on the edge of Scientology's links to Hollywood with Aaron Smith Levin. I got sent an anonymous email about this. I think Aaron already knew about it. Is there anything Scientology-based Aaron doesn't already know about? There shouldn't be, because then he wouldn't be as good at his job as he is. But all about Tom Cruise, his movies, the Paramount Pictures, and the director Tom Cruise works with. And his name is Christopher McQuarrie. And there's not a lot really known about this guy. He directed The Usual Suspects, which is a classic film, Kevin Spacey, though we're not supposed to talk about him anymore. But then he went on to not really do very much. He found it very hard. And then he got in with Tom Cruise and started making loads of vehicles for Tom Cruise. And then what this sort of anonymous tipster told me about, and what Erin knows about as well, is that Christopher McQuarrie, the director, appears to be a Scientologist, although there's very little about this online. But he lives... Would you want to take it from here, actually, Erin? Like, who he lives with? Because it's quite... This was quite a shock to me. I mean, legally, who he lives with, anyway.
Sure. And this is really strange, because what we have here is a voter registration record for Chris McQuarrie and his wife, where it says his address is a unit on the seventh floor of the condo building that Tom Cruise lives in downtown Clearwater. So that's not necessarily evidence that Chris is a Scientologist, but it does start raising that question, because you go, why does this Hollywood director, who, by the way, is Chris McQuarrie, is he British? I don't even know. Is he British?
I haven't heard him speak. I imagined he was American, but I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Let me check that while you...
Why would anyone who's not a Scientologist have a condo in downtown Clearwater, one floor down from Tom Cruise? Now, somebody might go, well, Chris and Tom spend so much time working together on the Mission Impossible movies that it just made sense that Chris would purchase a unit in Tom's condo building so they could, you know, work through the night and whatever. But you go, okay, it's one thing to buy a condo. That's fine. Why is it your registered address? Why are you a registered voter at that address? It makes it seem like that's actually your driver's license. That's your homestead. That's where you live. Now, I've always argued that someone like Tom Cruise doesn't actually live anywhere. You know, Tom's always filming in locations around the world. I've always said just because Tom's got a condo in downtown Clearwater doesn't mean he lives in Clearwater. But Chris McQuarrie legally seems to live in downtown Clearwater, which is really strange. Now, here's where it gets more strange. So I'm looking at the record right here. I know we're not showing it on screen, but it says that he lives... I won't give the street address. I'll just give the unit. In unit 701 of Tom Cruise's condo building. What makes this really weird is that he and his wife both live there. He and his wife, Heather. It also says that Tom Cruise's daughter, Isabella, lives in that same unit. And it gets even weirder. It says that Greg Capizorio, who's Tom Cruise's brother-in-law, also lives in unit 701. Greg Capizorio, which sister is he married to? It's not, he's married to, I think, Leanne. Leanne DeVette was the name that she used to go by, but now I guess it's Leanne Capizorio. That's Tom's sister. Leanne is the one who took over as Tom's publicist, who then torpedoed his career by letting him talk about Scientology back in 2005. Well, I guess it didn't really torpedo his career, just his PR. Okay, so you've got Chris McQuarrie at this unit, Heather McQuarrie at this unit, Isabella Jane Kidman Cruz at this unit, Greg Capizorio, and I'm looking... By the way, nobody but Scientologists live in this condo tower, because it's not just the condo tower Tom lives in. The entire tower was built, developed, and is owned by a Scientologist named, I'm going to go totally blank on his name, Agami, Moises Agami, rich Mexican developer Scientologist Moises Agami. Nobody who isn't a Scientologist with security clearance to purchase units in this building owns units or lives in this building. Christopher McQuarrie is one of those people. This is the weirdest thing. I've never heard anybody say that Chris McQuarrie is a Scientologist. It must be the best kept secret ever since Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith were Scientologists and nobody really knew. And this is crazy. Now I want to look up Chris McQuarrie. He must be American now if he's registered to vote. Yeah.
He is American.
He's totally just an American guy, huh? Wild.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all very strange, though, because there's nothing there about him being a Scientologist. And I can understand why that is, because I'm going to get a little bit conspiratorial with all of this, I guess. And I guess with these things, when they're that shady, all we can do is speculate and wonder what's going on here. But McQuarrie started doing more and more films with Tom Cruise, and people started getting fired from the production. And Mission Impossible is just one of the many movies that he's done with Cruise. And they all seem to be painting Cruise as this sort of... immortal hero who has to battle with his like real life and family commitments and things while also saving the world. And it appears to me to be, you know, this is publicity for Scientology. And the films have become bigger and more epic since Macquarie got involved, because he wasn't involved in the first few. But since he did, basically what I've been hearing is that people in the first, you know, directors who came on in the second or third film have said how difficult the job was because there are so many producers involved. It's a huge team. And they've said, basically, you're the director, but you're not. You just come in, you do the job. And Cruise has been a producer from day one, and he has a lot of control. And a lot of other producers have a lot of control. So there's not really very much that director can do. But in the last few years, one by one, the other producers, and you can see this just on the Wikipedia of just the different films over the years, they've been fired and let go or left for different reasons. One of the more high profile ones was a producer called Jake Myers, who seems to have been blamed for the whole, there was a whole big pandemic thing going on where Cruise screamed at the cast and he was recorded shouting at everyone about that, about all of that stuff. And Jake Myers seems to have gotten the blame. But that was quite convenient for Cruise, because now the only listed producers are Tom Cruise and Christopher McQuarrie. And that was for, I think, the last couple of films and the next couple of films. And each film, the budget has just gone bananas. And it's just insane. There are so many other films as well that they've been putting together that are big, big productions. And it does feel a little bit like this is Scientology's way. And I'd love to hear your view on this, of getting in with Hollywood, getting some influence on the world.
I mean, I can see why people would think that. I don't know that Scientology, I mean, it's really Tom Cruise's way. Like, yeah. I think it's Tom Cruise himself who would be the shot caller, even on something like the roles that I'm going to take are going to be these roles that put me in a position that, you know, reflect very positively, not just on me as a person or an actor, but on Scientology. And that it would be Tom's pull, using his pull in the industry, to surround himself with people who are just going to do exactly what he wants them to do. And perhaps Chris is just the last man standing. I still have to wonder whether it means he's actually a Scientologist or not. I'm shocked that that's a secret, that the prospects of that being a secret that could be that well kept all this time. Because, I mean, I'm looking at the thing right now. This is registration information from the Florida Democrat Party. Chris McQuarrie, 54 years old, Congressional District 13, Senate District 16, House District 66. This is his registered address. Now, the thing that I found interesting about saying Isabella lives there, I think it's pretty well known that Isabella lives in the UK. So I guess, but again, for Isabella, this is a voter registration record. So she must have a legally registered address here in Clearwater, and must just be, perhaps she's not considered a citizen over there in the UK. I don't know. Like Nicole has Australian citizenship. I know the kids have Australian citizenship. Do Australians get any sort of dual citizenship with the UK that
no,
you know of?
No, not typically. But again, being an actress and, you know, being a famous, you know, maybe she could get her that. I think she's been in the UK for quite some time. I just want to float another idea. Something else I thought of here was one of the films that they wrote, just to go with my sort of speculation that this is, even if it's Tom Cruise doing it, it's to make Scientology look good. One of the first films that McQuarrie wrote for Tom Cruise was Edge of Tomorrow, which has this idea of reincarnation in a sense, which not the Scientology does reincarnation as such, but this idea of like dying, your body dying doesn't really matter so much. And maybe I'm putting two and two together, making five here, but I don't know. What do you think?
On a high level, using very popular media like movies to introduce Scientology concepts is certainly something that L. Ron Hubbard himself was trying to do, wanted done. So, you know, if I put myself in Tom Cruise's shoes as someone who sees, you know, he sees L. Ron Hubbard and then David Miscavige and then Tom Cruise, as far as like the responsibility for accomplishing the aims of Scientology. It does make sense to me that Tom, given the opportunity and the funds and the right vehicle and the influence that he has, would, when the opportunity arises, introduce concepts that are Scientology friendly, Scientology like, Scientology adjacent. I mean, even Will Smith did that with After Earth, Remember that horrible movie with him and Jamie? Yeah. That was basically a ripoff of Dianetics.
Ah, oh, I never thought of that.
100%.
Wow.
And so, you know, Edge of Tomorrow, Edge of Tomorrow to me did not strike me as sort of a, ooh, that's Scientology. Like, I mean, it did. I know what you mean about the living lives over and over and over again. I know what you're talking about. I don't think it's something that a Scientologist would watch and immediately connect with Scientology wise. But this thing of always being the one saving the world. So, you know, L. Ron Hubbard wrote a series of books called Battlefield Earth. And then, of course, he wrote the one everyone knows about called, Mission Earth. He wrote a series of books called Mission Earth. And then he wrote one big fat book called Battlefield Earth. I mean, both of those books have what is essentially the Tom Cruise character. Mission Earth has Jethro Heller and Battlefield Earth has Johnny Goodboy Tyler, where you're, you know, one man saving all of humanity, which seems to be kind of how LRH viewed himself. Also seems to be kind of how Tom Cruise views himself.
Hey, it's Andrew. If you're enjoying Heretics, there's another podcast I want to recommend to you, especially if climate change, global conflicts, and an upcoming election are making you feel like we're on the brink of disaster. What Could Go Right is hosted by Progress Network founder Zachary Carabel and executive director Emma Varvalukas. On What Could Go Right, the hosts sit down with expert guests to discuss the world's most pressing issues without resorting to pessimism or despair that we hear so often. Instead, they look back at how far society has come and look forward at what it will take to achieve an even brighter future. Is progress on the way? They may not have all the answers, but on What Could Go Right, they're asking the key questions. Tune in to hear interviews with upcoming guests like writer Coleman Hughes, CNN host Fareed Zakaria, and economist Alison Schrager. If you're looking for a weekly dose of optimistic ideas from smart people, join them every Wednesday on What Could Go Right, available wherever you get your podcasts. Well, I read as well that one of the things, because Christopher McQuarrie came in to do a rewrite of one of the Mission Impossible, I think it was Mission Impossible 3. So initially they had David Fincher, who's a very famous director, on board, and he left basically saying that he's not the kind of guy to just say whatever's easiest for you. That's what David Fincher said, because apparently the production and Cruise, I imagine in particular, was very difficult. Brian De Palma, a very famous director, was on the first Mission Impossible, but apparently argued all the time with Tom Cruise as well about how to portray the main character. So that the third movie again, they got a director called Joe Carnahan. So he was attached for like what was going to be a more, I suppose it started to feel a bit more like an indie, if you can imagine Mission Impossible in that sense. It was a little bit more stripped down, lower budget, and more probably a better film in many senses. Tom Cruise, of course, was not happy with that. So then he got fired, and that's when McQuarrie got brought on, made it into the huge big budget film. But he was also asked to rewrite Tom Cruise's protagonist, the main character, to be more empathetic to audiences and to have this struggle of his family life and his sort of worldly life, but also going out to save the day. So he was less of like, I'm just a hero. It's also, I'm a family man. And you see that time and time again. That's War of the Worlds as well, which came out in 2005 during that time when he was jumping on sofas and all that crazy stuff he was doing. It's a similar thing. There's all the arguments with the very Spielbergian dad and the son and all this stuff. But then he has to go out and sort of save his family and all that kind of thing. So is there something in Scientology, do you think, in that respect as well, being the sort of maybe a humble character who then saves the day rather than a superhero?
I think as long as you're saving the day, the character development isn't particularly important. But, you know, I really wonder, like, for him to have found, because Christopher McQuarrie, he wasn't just someone Tom Cruise plucked out of obscurity. He was already a very well-known director, right?
He was fairly well-known and had done The Usual Suspects. And
I mean, that was an Oscar-winning movie.
Yeah, but I've heard him talk about how hard it... I mean, he did a whole tweet thread on Twitter, basically telling people, go out and do it if you want to be a director, because it wasn't handed to me. I had to go and make the film, which also sounds very Tom Cruise-y to me. Like, go and do it. Go and do the film. I made the film. And even then, people weren't accepting my scripts. I had to go and make another, go and make another. And then he seems to have gotten in with Cruise. And there are articles online about how the two of them, because were on a bit of a downward spiral. I mean, you said before Tom Cruise was in a bit of a bad, you know, 2005, that kind of time. And it did apparently, I mean, there were concerns about his box office credit at that time. So the two of them are sort of, well, credited with saving one another's career to some extent.
I'll tell you what I start to wonder about is that if there's already a history of, an eclectic combination of established directors who said it's too hard to work with Tom, or it's too hard to work in that environment where everyone has I'm the last one to, you know, have a creative decision here. For him to have finally found someone who's willing to put up with all that, because let's be honest, that's probably a lot of what it is, being willing to put up with all that. It's not like Tom changed his ways to appease Chris McQuarrie. For him to have found someone who's willing to go along with all of that, it makes me wonder if Scientology has played a role in bringing about Christopher McQuarrie's willingness to put up with all of that and go along with that. If Chris isn't perhaps on the bandwagon of this is a vehicle for Tom and Tom is a vehicle of Scientology. None of this has to, your ego has nothing to do with any of this. Your career has nothing to do with any of this. Like, does Chris McQuarrie do anything else other than Mission Impossible movies these days?
He makes Tom Cruise movies. So there are other, you know, there's The Mummy, there's Edge of Tomorrow.
He's done all of these?
Yeah. Let me double check this. You continue. I'm just going to double check because there are other ones as well.
Well, I'm just thinking, and again, I'm just sort of, you know, figuring out how these pieces could go together. It doesn't mean it's the only way that they go together, but it would make sense if the reason Chris is on board with Team Tom, you know, Team Tom Incorporated, is because he's on board with the Scientology agenda. It would make sense to me. It's not the only way this could all make sense. Perhaps Chris just really loves being Tom's director. But the reason I go, that doesn't sound right to me, is because look at all the other directors who could work again and again with Tom if they wanted to. And they were like, no, thank you. What, Michael yep. Mann, Steven Spielberg. John Woo, all these people who are incredibly competent and creative. And they're like, yeah, we're not interested in being on that train. Well, for some reason, Chris McQuarrie is. I thought he was just brought in to do the Mission Impossible franchise, but now that he's done all these other Tom Cruise movies, and he happens to have a condo in downtown Clearwater that where no one but Scientologists live, it's like, come on now. I'm still shocked though. I'm still shocked that if it's true that it's been kept under wraps for all this time.
I'm looking now, and so The Usual Suspects was 1995, and obviously he won a lot of awards for that. It was a big deal. It was a great film. But pretty much he did nothing then until 2000. This is Christopher McQuarrie, by the way, in terms of writing at least. And then he wrote something called The Way of the Gun. I've never heard of it. And then nothing till 2008. So from 1995, Usual Suspects, he did one thing in 2000 that I haven't heard of, and then 2008, so we're talking 13-year gap. And then suddenly, you got Valkyrie. That's what he wrote. I think he directed it as well. Tom Cruise. That's when they first started. And then from there, Jack Reacher, Edge of Tomorrow, Mission Impossible, The Mummy, another Mission Impossible, Top Gun Maverick. He wrote the screenplay for Top Gun.
But he didn't he didn't direct it, though.
Let me double check who directed it.
No, he didn't. He didn't direct it because it was someone else at the Directors Guild. It was a guy I'd never heard of, actually. Like Joe Safino or something like this.
Right. And apparently, so someone else, this anonymous emailer was saying, like, isn't it funny? Because Tom Cruise did all the press with McQuarrie as though he were the director.
Did he?
Yeah, apparently. So that's the only bit where I'm going, this is hearsay. Because I think, like I said, we do have to speculate to some extent. But, like, this is really weird, a lot of the stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, Joseph Kosinski is a guy I've never heard of. Now that doesn't mean anything, but I didn't see Tom doing any press with Joseph Kosinski.
No, this is the thing. So yet another film. So suddenly you've got these two guys who are just like both registered to the same Clearwater condo.
And the only other explanation, the most, because it's one thing, like I said, it's one thing to just own a condo in downtown so that if Tom's in Clearwater, Chris can come and they can collaborate. But it's your registered freaking address. Chris McCrory, you live in downtown Clearwater? That doesn't make any sense.
It's no sense. And then I guess some people will be wondering, okay, so let's say they are working together on a lot of films. Well, loads of people do that. De Niro often works with Scorsese, and Leonardo DiCaprio does as well. You know, you get that with actors, and Tom Hanks and Spielberg, they do that. And okay, what's the problem here? But it does feel like they've booted everyone else out, firstly. They've gotten rid of all the other production in Mission Impossible, and who knows what other films they're doing similar things with, taking total control. And then the budgets are going mad. And again, this is where I'm going to have to speculate a bit, but actually, it's not even speculating, because this has been reported by the LA Times and Le Monde in France, that there's a huge connection between, I think it was Mission Impossible and Russian oligarchs. And there's a lot of talk about the FBI being involved. Vanity Fair covered this as well, with Top Gun Maverick and Mission Impossible. There's all these weird ways of financing. So again, it's like, I like to be wary of these kinds of things, because I can't even say what my own ethnicity is, because it will get us demonetized just saying that word that starts with J. But it makes me very sensitive about people making connections.
And
don't say that. Making connections. I'm gonna have to cut that bit out.
You can say that. And by the way, for the viewers, I know that Gypsy begins with a G.
Don't say it again.
You're not gonna get demonetized for that.
You will. You're supposed to say traveler. Now, I'm gonna find it. 21 minutes in, cutting it. Now, anyway. anyway, I'm very cautious of making, you know, adding the dots together and having a go at a minority or whatever. But there's a big difference, which is the you know, my own people. We're talking about a lineage and an ethnicity. We're talking about people who don't share that belief system with Scientology. I mean, Tom Cruise has said, you can be a Christian, you can be this, you can be that, and be a Scientologist. The suggestion being, Scientology is about the belief system, and it's about something that you actively do. You don't do being a lineage or whatever that might be. So the two of them together, the funding is strange. It's going through the roof. I just wonder about siphoning it off, where all of that money is going to. They're the only people in charge. They're running the whole show. Imagine two people pretty much entirely running like Mission Impossible, the entire franchise. It's insane.
You know, I've always had a question about movie financing, specifically Tom Cruise movie financing. And I hope someone in the industry can reach out to me at growingupinscientology@gmail.com and try to explain this to me. Every one of Tom's big, tentpole blockbusters are big moneymakers. Why does Tom ever need to arrange creative financing to finance one of his movies? I don't understand why Tom Cruise doesn't do what Mel Gibson did, which is finance your own movie and make 10 times more money than you would have ever made otherwise. I just honestly don't understand. Like, I mean, Mel Gibson from Passion of the Christ made $100 million or $200 million. It's something absurd. It's something, $300 million. It's something actually insane. And, you know, you hear about Tom Cruise making $50 million to $100 million in back-end participation points and whatever. But I go, why doesn't Tom finance his own movies? I don't get it. They've never lost money other than the small ones, like what, Lions for Lambs, or I don't know, even Valkyrie might have lost money. I don't know. Why would he go get Russian money to finance Mission Impossible or Top Gun? It makes no sense to me at all.
Well, there's so much finance stuff that really we need a finance person on here to explain it. But I know that, like, soccer clubs, for example, will often inflate figures and change figures so they can get around certain rules and regulations. So that might be happening. If you know, Tom might be siphoning money off in one direction, say towards Scientology, or maybe Scientology, you know, one way to hide it would be sort of washing it through Russian money, I believe. Also, it's the pure amounts, the amounts of dollars that is going into this, because that one I was talking about before that was a bit of a stripped down version that Joe Carnahan, the director, was going to do, that was going to be under $50 million as a budget. Recently, the budgets for the movies have swelled over 100 million, 150, 180 million. And then the last couple have been around 290 million. And some people are talking about $500 million for the next two films that are coming out sort of as a two-parter in the next few years. So even Tom Cruise, I have no idea how much money he has, but 500 million is a lot to put out there, even if there's only a very small risk.
Yeah, I mean, lines of credit. The internet says Tom Cruise is worth $600 million. So, He's got to be close to that.
Depends how much he backs. Yeah, how much does he back himself? Because that's if you've got 600, because you still have 100 million, you have a nice life, you know. And you're not gonna lose all 500 million. If the film tanks, you'll at least get a few hundred million back. So
exactly,
he should take that risk. But yeah, I mean, all this is financial might from the likes of Scientology. Well, I think, and a way to subtly, you know, he's not going to put out a film about Xenu. That's just not going to work. But I think it's a subtle way. He is the face of Scientology, and he is consistently being, again and again and again, playing a hero. I love actors like Ralph Fiennes, who always plays the bad guy. He loves playing like Voldemort and all sorts of horrible characters over the years. And I love like actors who take that risk, but you just so rarely, if ever, see that from Tom Cruise. It's just hero, hero, hero. And that's got to have an effect on the marketing and branding for Scientology.
It's true. I mean, the only movie I can think of that he played a bad guy was the one with Michael Mann. What was it? Where he played great with Jamie Foxx. What was it? Collateral.
Collateral, yeah.
And then I guess Les Grossman was sort of a comedic bad guy in Tropic Thunder, right?
Right.
Is that what that was? Yeah,
I didn't see that properly, but that was a bit of a silly film, wasn't it? But again, oh, look, I can laugh at myself, that kind of thing. But then,
They were trying to make a full-length Les Grossman feature film.
Wow.
I mean, not currently.
Is that his character?
He plays. Have you ever even seen the clips of it?
No, I've seen bits of it, but years ago, and I don't
know. Oh, it's really, really funny. It's actually really funny. Tom Cruise is actually wearing a little bit of a fat suit, and he plays like this.
I've seen that.
A movie producer. Yeah. He's playing a movie producer with big, hairy arms, and he's dancing. It's really funny. Yeah, so what was reported? Was it that the Russian financing, the Russian oligarch money that you're talking about, was it reported that there was something possibly nefarious going on there?
Just that the FBI is apparently investigating, because it's a Russian oligarch called Dmitry Rybolovlev or something like that. I do apologize for the pronunciation, anyone Russian in the audience, in the viewers. But I don't know the ins and outs. You never do with these things. Just that there's a lot of very dodgy things going on with that particular guy. He's been accused of all sorts, I believe, allegedly. You don't want to get, you know, sued by someone with that power, and so, or worse, actually, given what can happen if you cross the wrong people. So don't, you know, we're saying allegedly, don't, you know, do us in. But
I can understand the FBI taking an interest in it. I mean, anything to do with Russian oligarchs these days is pretty pretty toxic. I mean, none of those guys have clean money. I mean, no, ultimately, right? Do. The oligarchs? Allegedly. I mean, I don't think it's the oligarchs. No, that's
I just don't want something to happen to you, Aaron. I don't want to see in the back of your screen that someone comes, breaks in and does things to you. We're saying allegedly.
Find me first. They'll never take me alive.
there was also a whole kerfuffle around, because the guy who got in touch with me has been reported. He's reported anonymously in these articles, but he's been reported as like an angry staff member who was, you know, fired or whatever. So that they're sort of saying, oh, he's been saying things because we fired him. But he's coming out with some stuff like, you know, they destroyed a historic Polish bridge just to make the film. And they didn't want to do CGI. They wanted to actually destroy something. And Macquarie has come out and said, look, this isn't true. This guy's just a disgruntled whatever. I can't say who he is, but he's just disgruntled. But there's just a lot of weird stuff, the way they go very gung-ho about like going in, blowing stuff up, using crazy amounts of money. And yeah, it's all just very, very fishy. And he's registered to, you know, Clearwater.
I saw the behind the scenes video that went sort of viral of Tom doing the base jumping stunt on the motorcycle and everything. And it's impressive. It's cool. It makes you think that Tom's a real action star. But I couldn't help but think, while I was watching that, if I was a studio executive going, what an incredible waste of time and money.
Yeah.
I mean, just so that Tom can get what he wants. Maybe it adds a little extra something to the movie. Maybe it becomes part of the marketing effort. I don't know. Maybe they write off part of the stunt budget as marketing expense. Actually just what it ends up being. It ends up being the marketing for the movie is, look, guys, it's all real. It's all real. And you're like, well, if you have to tell us it's all real, I mean, you had to tell us, because it would have looked the same on the green screen.
those levels of narcissism. And, you know, so now we've got a guy who is like pretty much the sole producer. He's the director. He's the star. He's this. And it's called Mission Impossible. I mean, so you couldn't get a clearer idea of what they're trying to show. Like, it's his entire legacy, his entire vehicle is this franchise. And it is him. He is the hero. But what it reminds me really of, that the fact that he shouts at people and gets upset all the time and doesn't get on with people, and then he has to do all his own stunts and show off about that, even as he gets into his 60s and he's clearly had, well, it looks like he's had things done to his face as well. All this stuff reminds me a little bit of someone I've done a lot of on my channel about, which is Prince Harry. There's a particular moment as well in his book, Spare, where he talks about joining the army and it was a duty that he had to do to help the army and all this stuff. And he like instantly got given like the best jobs in the army. And he also, because they couldn't like train him in the normal places, they had to move him to hit one of his castles in Sandringham. So it meant that the people of Sandringham, just normal people and villagers and stuff, had to hear fighter jets training for months at a time over their heads. And he was just like, well, they complained, but such is war. And it's like, could you have less respect for the like people, your minions, the peons below you who actually want to get their children to sleep and things like that? And he's like, such as well. No, you didn't have to be a big fighter hero. They didn't need you in the army. And the big role you've been given by you know, this nice cushy job where he gets to sit there and just command jets and tell them all where to go and stuff. Somebody who worked really hard, probably from a middle class or a working class background, didn't get the job because of that. But Prince Harry doesn't care because he's got the job. He wanted to do it. There's no mention of that. And with Tom Cruise, it's similar because the stunt industry, the stunt double industry, is obviously a real thing. It's obviously very important to particular people. There are enough people who probably look like Tom Cruise who over the years could have earned a decent living from being a stunt double. I'm not saying Tom Cruise has to go with a stunt double or whatever, but this whole show-offy thing, it's like, well, there are some people who could actually do with that job. And you're also setting a precedent for other actors, because now it's like, oh, if you don't do your own stunts, you're not good like Tom Cruise. So it must be awful for the stunt double industry. So he doesn't care.
That's interesting. That's interesting. Mm. And then, of course, that reminds me that, you know, what was it, the last Mission Impossible movie where he broke his ankle doing the stunt and production was shut down for like a month or two or whatever it was because of that. And I mean, it's funny because my knee-jerk reaction is to respect an actor who wants to put in the work. But there is something to be said for the fact of, yeah, but your work as an actor is to act. Being a stunt person is another industry. There's professionals, there's experts. I mean, at this point, I guess you could say Tom Cruise is a professional stunt person. But at the same time, you are risking something like the production schedule of a movie. I'm sure the insurance on these movies is absolutely insane. I guess the studios don't have any problem affording that, though. It really is, though, an exercise in just Tom Cruise's ego.
Well, also because I gather, and again, I need to, maybe you'll actually know better than I do, that he wasn't vaccinated and neither was Christopher McQuarrie, and they both got really ill and that delayed.
I didn't know that.
I think that's right. Someone check me in the comments if I'm wrong, but they definitely both got very ill, and I definitely read that neither of them were vaccinated and they were very angry that everybody else hadn't followed protocol. Hmm.
Amazing. Actually, I would love to know if there's someone reporting that Tom Cruise did not get vaccinated, because David Miscavige forced all of Scientology's Sea Org members to get vaccinated. And if Tom Cruise did not get vaccinated, I mean, most public Scientologists did not get vaccinated. By the way, can we say the V word?
Well, not too many times, I guess, but we've done it enough times. Maybe we'll say jab next time. But
the medicine injection.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, I'm reading here the Mercury News. So, indeed, the investigative report by the Hollywood Reporter said it is believed that Cruise didn't get the thing, at least of June 2021. That means he remained un that thing after an audio recording of his infamous dressing down of crew members was leaked to the media in December 2020.
So we still just don't know, right?
Neither Cruise nor McQuarrie were believed to be that at the time either.
How can they say that, though? Is that a tabloid?
It's got like, you know, when it's got the writing that's like quite posh and old, like Times, the Times kind of thing. It's got one of those.
I'm just wondering, like, how could a journalist ever speculate as to someone's status of the medicine?
It was the report
injection
by veteran journalist Kim Masters.
Oh, Kim. Well, there you go. No, I'm just kidding.
There you go. Kim said it.
I just question how anyone would even be how it would even be possible for any journalist to know that. But I guess what I'm saying is that if it was from an actual respectable publication, then perhaps we can infer that they would never even have written it that way if they were not secretly talking to people that they knew.
I think so. It's really something out of nowhere. Otherwise, isn't it?
That would be a massive hypocrisy for David Miscavige to force everyone. Force. I mean, when I say force, I mean if you don't get it, you're held in isolation until you change your mind.
Wow, it's funny that because many like religions and stuff were against that. You know,
most Scientologists are against it. In fact, the Sea Org members were told to lie to the public Scientologists about the fact of being medicine injected.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's so mad. It's just lies on top of lies on top of lies. It's crazy.
So I just assume that with Miscavige issuing that order and with Miscavige and Tom being best of friends, that there would have been some consensus in that regard. And when we heard Tom losing his mind on some people for violating guidelines, I would have thought that for someone who was freaking out about something like that, they themselves would have had the injection. So if he actually didn't, that would be a massive hypocrisy, in my opinion.
There's just a lot of massive hypocrisy, unfortunately, all around this whole story. I guess that's it, isn't it, really? I mean, we could take a couple of questions if anyone's got any, particularly about this topic, if you want to ask a few things, want to ask Aaron something. But that's the thing. That's what we're talking about here. It's just this really, really weird, unexpected, I think, history of Tom Cruise's partner. I don't think it's been reported on enough. And the fact that he shares a condo, apparently, you know, legally, with Tom's daughter, I think is Isabella, isn't it? Very strange.
His daughter and his brother-in-law. Like, what's going on over there in Unit 701?
Can we go
is
there?
It, knock or is on the it door? Just, is it just a taxi? Well, you can't get in the building. You couldn't get in the building. Or is it just like a tax shelter? Like, Chris wanted a Florida address, so he registered in Florida. You know, Isabella lives in the UK, so they're like, well, Isabella needs an address, so we'll just stick her in Chris's unit. He doesn't live there anyway. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's more than one explanation for the condo itself. But if Chris is American, yeah, so California has really high state taxes and Florida has zero. I wonder where Chris lived before Florida. I bet it was California.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's from New York. I think I read that. It was either New York or New Jersey.
Wow.
Not entirely sure. But yeah, all very strange. Got some questions. So where should we start? What you're just talking about, we've got to be careful around words here. But Angela Thompson says, do Scientologists have the same issues on vax as JWs have on blood transfusions?
No. Any opinions on this are just the political opinions of individual members. L. Ron Hubbard never said one word pro or against medicine injections. Scientologists tend to be very anti-big pharma, anti-pharmaceutical, and untrusting of, you know, they take a lot of vitamins, a lot of herbs, a lot of supplements, sauna, detoxes. So they, as a default, they tend to have an anti-medicine bias, but it's more of a cultural thing. There's no rule in Scientology against seeing a doctor, against taking medication, against getting injections. It's just the pharmaceutical stuff and, of course, the illegal stuff that you're not allowed to do.
Okay. I've got a point more than a question from Annie Kurtz here, and it's votes for Clearwater. I mean, could that be an issue? I don't know enough about the political system there, but could that be sort of a Scientologist influence? You know, we want to vote for a particular candidate?
Nah. Chris is just one vote. And I doubt he votes.
And all of Cruz's family. There's like 20 of them in that little flat.
Yeah, but they actually let in that flat. I mean, there's other, so Tom has the top two floors. And then I think his sisters have the floor under that, and then it's all Scientologists. I mean, there's not really enough Scientologists in Clearwater to tip an election one way or the other. Multiple things. Usually Scientologists just happen to be voting for someone who was already going to win even without their votes is usually.
Okay. And Gleeshammer
says, would you join Scientology? And I don't know if that's for me or you, if it was for free and all the BS stopped.
Well, no, even when I was in Scientology, I didn't actually enjoy doing it. I was just doing it because I was put on that path. I didn't enjoy doing what I was, like, I made the best of what I was doing while I was there, but I wasn't there because it's what I would rather have been doing. I would have rather been doing something else.
Hmm.
So no.
I've got this quite interesting one from Paul Morgan. What's worse, Scientology or psychiatry? And obviously that's an allusion to the Tom Cruise stuff that he was saying in 2005. And of course, just Scientology in general being very anti-psychiatry.
Yeah.
What do you
think? I mean, at this point, Scientology, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. People always get angry about psychiatry, and it's because obviously it's not an exact science, which is very frustrating, and it will get it wrong. But what can you do? Paul also wants to know, is Aaron still a believer in God?
I never was. Oh, well, Scientologists don't believe in God.
Well, there you go. So that was easier, in fact, as a move. You didn't have to stop believing in God. Let's have a look. Bit of a joke one, I guess, from Michael. Do you agree that Mission Impossible team has done more for world peace than all of Scientology? Well, they're one and the same, aren't they, Aaron? Now that we know.
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, they're one and the same. But I guess to the extent that the Mission Impossible movies have brought peace and happiness to anyone who watched the movie, and Scientology's brought peace and happiness to arguably nobody, Mission Impossible wins.
Do you think, and this is relevant to today from Shirley Keeler, do you think if Tom Cruise left Scientology, it would fold? And that is, it's relevant because that, you know, refers to what we're saying about him being such an important cog in that sort of Hollywood machine at the moment for Scientology.
So I think Scientology has been in the process of folding for many years. I think the trajectory that it's on is, it's on an inevitable decline. I think if Tom Cruise left, he would greatly speed up the downward trajectory of Scientology, absolutely. I think Scientology hits a certain level, you know, on this downward trajectory. It hits a certain level beyond which it doesn't really go any further. Like, I don't think it goes to zero. I think even if you take away their tax exemption, they figure out how to still exist to some extent. But I think Tom Cruise leaving Scientology, particularly if he spoke out about it publicly, would probably be one of the most single destructive things that could happen to Scientology.
Yeah, I think it would as well. SML, I think it is, says, what is the significance of the cross on the tops of the buildings? And I guess that's a good point because people are saying there's no God. So what are those crosses?
So they use the cross only because the cross is recognized as a religious symbol and they want people to associate Scientology with religion. But the cross itself has nothing to do with Jesus. The Scientology cross is an eight-pointed cross that represents Scientology's eight dynamics. L. Ron Hubbard says that you can divide life up into eight separate urges towards survival. And he called these things dynamics. So the first dynamic is self. The second dynamic is family. The third dynamic is any other group. The fourth dynamic is all mankind. The fifth dynamic is all plant and animal life. The sixth dynamic is the physical universe. The seventh dynamic is like spirits and spirituality. And the eighth dynamic is infinity, or he says, or God. And he says, or God, as a recognition that human beings very often believe in God. Scientologists don't, so they call it infinity. And that reflects the fact that spiritual beings don't die. They exist forever. So there's the concept of spirituality, but then separate from that, there's the concept of eternity. And so those eight dynamics is one of the most fundamental principles of Scientology. And so they use this eight-pointed cross. So like how cheap though is that? Like you could use an eight-pointed anything. You could use an eight-fingered hand. You could use an eight-pointed star. They specifically use the cross because they want people to associate the Scientology symbology with mainstream religion.
Yeah, that makes sense for tax purposes, of course, as well as just in the public consciousness, I suppose. I'll ask maybe one more question, but I just want to first say I want to know what you guys think of today. So I want you to put a one in the chat if you think Scientology is using Tom Cruise and his director, is it Chris McQuarrie, to make an impact in Hollywood and control their image and all those things. Put a two if you think we've just speculated and that doesn't seem to be the case. I won't be offended. Aaron will be. And also, when we're finished, get over, if you're not already, to Growing Up in Scientology. It's my favorite channel. It's amazing. And it's just the best, everything on Scientology you could ever want to know. Lots of ones here. Look at that. So people, I think we've convinced people here. I think it's, I started this and I thought, oh, Aaron's not going to be, sure. And the more we went on, I could feel that you were like, you know what? This is actually a bit odd.
I've convinced myself.
Well, I think give me some of the credit, mate.
Yes, you've convinced me. Seriously, I think someone needs to actually ask Chris McQuarrie. I mean, it's not like he's going to say yes necessarily. Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith lied about being Scientologists, not only while they were in, but even after they got out, they lied about ever having been in. So I'm sure Chris McQuarrie has the same you're allowed to lie card as Will and Jada did.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm convinced he's in it. He's in science, and this is all part of this big conspiracy. I'm really convinced of this one. Right, we've got a question here from Saga. Does Scientology have its own calendar system?
No.
Because it should do, because it's a billion-year contract and all that. It's got different...
Oh, do you know what they're talking about? Okay, so... and this is another thing. Okay, so L. Ron Hubbard uses, in his lectures, he says A.D., 33, AD 35, AD 45 means after Dianetics. So AD, number of years after 1950, because Dianetics came out in May 1950. So it's not actually its own calendar system. Nobody in Scientology speaks that way, but L. Ron Hubbard did when he gave lectures.
Well, I grew up, in synagogues and stuff, and I never knew the year because it was just so high, but it was like 5,600 or something like that, because it doesn't, obviously they don't believe in Christ. So there was none of this BC in it. It's just like, that's how old the religion says the world is, which obviously it's, I think we're all good. Are you good? You're all good, Aaron?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Do go to Growing Up in Scientology and, yeah, love to you all.
Thank you to my friend Aaron Smith-Levin. People, go follow his YouTube channel, Growing Up in Scientology. Come say hi on mine. It's On the Edge with Andrew Gold. Celebrate the 100,000 subscriber mark, or passing it, with me. It's my birthday tomorrow, by the way, everyone. I think this should be coming out. It's the 20th of March, 18, 19, 20. Yep, 20th of March. And my birthday is the 21st of March. I'm an Aries, for those of you asking, although I don't believe in horoscopes, of course, but I do believe that the date of my birth fits in with the concept of Aries. So that's what I am, before anyone asks. And I'm very excited that, the YouTube channel's passed 100,000 just before that birthday. If you want to send a message of birthday happiness, Twitter, Instagram, the usual places, if you want also to get hold of the Saturday episodes, like I was saying, James SS on being fired for gender critical views, and Sean Atwood defending Russell Brand, those are the two Saturday ones that are sandwiching this episode, and ad free episodes you'll get. Said that like Yoda, didn't I? Yoda, is that his name? I think it's Yoda. Ad free episodes you'll get. Yes, patreon.com/AndrewGold. There's loads of people there already, so thank you all for signing up. And I will see you next time out. I'm just deciding what episode it'll be. It's because of advertising and stuff like that. I need to figure out which thing to put where. But it will happen. There will be a Thursday episode, and I'll be 34 years old by the time it comes out.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.